Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you and praise you that it is a living word. And so we pray this morning that it will give us sustenance and give us true life, that we might be followers of Jesus Christ in all that we say and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. I'm hoping I'm not going to cough too much. Excuse me. Well, of course, today is indeed a very special Sunday where we thank God for our Queen. She is, of course, part of the establishment of our country. And as the Church of England, too, we are part of that establishment, seeking also to serve as she does. In her coronation, she committed her role as Queen to God, and she has faithfully followed that through. So today we'll have a very quick look at her life, an example, and look at the Word of God and how we can apply it to our own lives. So first of all, her commitment, her vow or promise. She said this, "I declare before you all that my whole life, whether it be long or short, shall be devoted to God's service." That was the first part. So her declaration, her dedication, her promise was first of all to God. And isn't that what we've just heard in that reading? That Jesus said, put God first. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. So she was doing just that. And the second part of her promise was the service of the people. Because she went on to say, and for the service of the great family to which we belong. Again, following the example and teaching of Jesus, love your neighbour as yourself. What a commitment that a young queen made. And I wonder too if that's our commitment today, to truly put God first in our lives and to serve him and to serve others around us. And it's easy sometimes to say the words and the promises, but it really matters that we follow it through. Otherwise, the words are meaningless. And our Queen Elizabeth knew that. And so, at the time that she made that promise, she looked to God in order to keep that promise. In Proverbs 3 that was read to us, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. And so as she made her vow, she also prayed, God, help me to make good my vow. She knew that in her own strength, in her own lack of experience, she could not do it, but she could with God's help. And many, many years later, in 2014, she declared that, in fact, yes, God was the anchor in her life. Those are her words. So she was relying not upon herself or her own understanding, but upon God, but also upon the prayers of her people, because she asked her people to pray. And that's true in the New Testament. We are told, aren't we, to pray for our leaders. And in the Church of England, we do that. But so too, we must continue to do that. Not only for our Queen, but for all our leaders, including our local leaders. Because prayer is so important. And Queen Elizabeth knew that. She knew that prayer makes a difference. I wonder if we know that, because sometimes we look at the world around us, we look at the news, and we can easily become discouraged and dismayed and think, what will my prayers do? But the Bible teaches us that prayer does make a difference. And your prayers and my prayers, even though they may be weak and feeble, make a difference to the world in which we live. As we pray, perhaps for the EU referendum, important things that are happening in our country, be encouraged because God says he hears the prayers of his people. Of course, we all need prayer. We need prayer support. That's why it's important to be in fellowship groups, because others can pray when we too hit crises in our lives. It's not relying on other people or their prayers, because our reliance must also be always on God. Even as the Queen said, God is my anchor. But prayers do make a difference, and we must ask others to pray for us when we need it too. Secondly, her understanding of her Christian faith. Proverbs 2 says this, verse 2 and 3. Listen to what is wise, God's words, and try to understand it. Beg for knowledge. Look for it as hard as you would for silver or some hidden treasure. Is that what we do when we read God's word? Do we beg for understanding? Do we, as we sometimes say, pan for gold? I don't know whether you've ever tried it, whether you've been into streams where there's supposed to be gold. It's a very laborious process, and people can sieve the water all day before they find even a flicker, or days and weeks sometimes. And the book of Proverbs says that we should be like panning for gold, as it were. So that each time we read God's word, we get a little nugget of something. It might seem very small, that little bit of understanding that we have got from God's reading. But you think of reading God's word every day, getting 365 nuggets, and if you live to be 90 like the Queen, times 90, it could make more than a gold bar, couldn't it? You see, our understanding of God's word needs to grow. Her Majesty the Queen shows a remarkable understanding of the love of Jesus. Jesus as Saviour and his power to forgive. She said this: although we are capable of great acts of kindness, history teaches us that sometimes we need saving from ourselves, from our recklessness or our greed. God sent into the world a unique person, neither a philosopher nor a general, but a saviour with the power to forgive. Forgiveness lies at the heart of the Christian faith, and the Queen knew that and knows that. Forgiveness and the power of God's love can heal broken families. It can restore friendships. It can reconcile divided communities. It is in forgiveness that we feel the power of God's love. She understands the heart of our Christian faith. Forgiveness is at the heart of our faith. Because of her understanding of the Christian faith, she attends church each week. Not because she has to do, not because it's expected of her, but because she chooses to do so. Because she knows that she needs fellowship and gains spiritual understanding and strength. Do we fully realize how much we need to do the same? Not only to come into fellowship as a church, but in small groups, in Bible reading, in reading Christian books, and so on. At the heart of our faith is God's love and forgiveness. It's a great Christian book. If you've never read it, I do recommend it to you. It's called Forgiveness, God's Master Key by Peter Horaban. It was interesting. We had some friends from Thailand with us the last few days. We worked with them in Thailand. And they were saying that some research recently has shown that those who did come to faith, and it was a very hard mission field, especially at that time when we were there, that though 70-odd percent of them said it was because of the love of God that they were drawn to the gospel. What a message we have to share. And that leads me to the next point, the Queen's desire to share the good news. Not only does she know what is the heart of the Christian faith, but she desires to share it with us. So many of our leaders will sit on the fence. Yes, she has great respect for everyone, but she chooses to use the opportunities given to her to share the gospel. She could just give a bland Christmas message, one of peace, but no. When given the opportunity, she takes it to share the good news. This is what she said in 2011. It is my prayer that on this Christmas day, we might all find room in our lives for the message of the angels and for the love of God through Christ Jesus, our Lord. In 2012, she said, God sent his only Son to serve. He restores love and service to the center of our lives in the person of Jesus Christ. A bold declaration, a meaningful declaration, not tiptoeing on eggshells. Yes, we need to be sensitive to others as we share the gospel. But let's be bold in what we have to say. We have a clear, unequivocal message. Jesus is Saviour of the world. We can only know God's love and forgiveness through him. We thank God that our Queen does indeed share that message at Christmas time. And finally, serving her people. 30 years after she gave that promise, she said this, the story of the Good Samaritan reminds us of our duty to our neighbour and reminds us too that we should go and do likewise. Proverbs 2:8 said, God protects those who treat others fairly. And that is certainly something that the Queen has always endeavoured to do. She knows right from wrong and encourages others to do the same, to love our neighbours as ourselves. In 1986, she said this, you don't have to be rich or powerful in order to change things for the better. And each of us, in our own way, can make a contribution. How do we make things better for those around us, for those that we meet? Last week I was talking on 1 Peter 4 about being helpful and kind, our words and our actions. And we're called, aren't we, to bloom, as it were, where we're planted. Not wish that we were somewhere else, in someone else's situation. Because, you know, we can bloom even in a desert or a rubbish tip. We can make a difference to other people's world with a kind word, a smile, a kind action. The Queen has certainly done that. She's reached out to others. Many of the things that she has done, we will never know. But those who know her well talk about the kind words and actions that she has given to others. So in conclusion, Her Majesty the Queen made a vow to serve God and her people. She called on God for his help and for prayers from his people. She shows her understanding of her faith, the love and forgiveness we see in Jesus Christ. She wants others to experience that love and power, and so shares her faith openly. And she seeks to do all that she can to serve others. And so for us, God's people, she must be an inspiration. And as we thank her and we thank God for her and for her reign, we would all do well if the things that I have outlined and said about her today can be said of each one of us too. Jesus commanded us to love God first and to love our neighbour as ourselves. May that truly be the truth of our lives too. Amen.